We went right off the rails here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's it. I mean, the structure of this shows is going to be following us along, right? And if you can't follow us along with a couple beers, then that's fine. Then people shouldn't listen, right?
People should pause the show right now and go to their kitchen or wherever they keep their fine beers and crack one open and come back to us. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode one of the Nights and Weekends podcast, where we are publicly bootstrapping businesses to win our freedom from the cubicle farms and the sales floors of the nation. So come along for the ride. Thanks for taking part in episode number, well, technically episode one of our journey.
That's right. So my name is Craig Hewitt, and with us, Ken Wallace. Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. So I hope everyone got a chance to listen to episode zero. It was a little shoot from the hip, right, Ken?
Very much so.
But wanted to really just lay out from our perspectives how we're thinking about this podcast and what we want it to be for not just us, but for everyone listening and participating, hopefully, and really it was a true episode zero, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and so this week, really getting into the meat of what we're up to, how we're hoping to progress from a pretty basic starting point to building up real businesses that will allow us and our families the freedom to do not whatever we want, sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais all day, but to have the independence and the freedom and the option to live our lives like we all want them to. Like we all want to for us and our families. So it's exciting stuff.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to happen.
So Ken, what are we drinking this week?
This week I've got Easy Chair Amber Ale from the Upland Brewing Company from right here in Bloomington, Indiana. I say right here in the state.
Good for you. And I am drinking a New Belgium Saison. So got the variety pack at the store this weekend, and in it was Ranger IPA, which is one of my favorites, and then another one, Rampart, I think, which is a double IPA. It's like 8.5% alcohol, and if this wasn't my fourth drink of the night, then I would probably have another one of those, but then the podcast would just be horrible. It'd be worse than it's going to be already. So
off the rails. Yeah.
So we'll go with the Saison for tonight, and we'll see how it goes. So how was the week, Ken?
My week was actually very productive on several fronts, from the day job front and from the side business front. So what's more interesting here is the side business front. So last week I talked about working a lot on my HIPAA guide for developers. I think that's going to be the title of it. I've got five variants of a cover made up. And I actually ran it by my wife and my artist daughter. And they gave me some feedback, and then I'm going to throw it out to some more public venues. I'm on Pat Flynn's Facebook group, so I might toss it up there every day. I think there's at least three people that throw book cover ideas out there to be judged.
That's a great place to do it.
Pitch mine as well.
Very smart. Yeah. Yep.
And then I also worked on the data model for my SaaS app. It uses a Mongo database backend, so I'll spare you the details, but I was pretty happy that I got my data model finalized.
Awesome. And so I'll give my update, I guess. So I am a self-proclaimed domain hog and have been working very hard this week on I shared a little bit last week on kind of the plan for the stair-step approach that we talked about for me. And so Ken and I are starting out on a very similar place. Writing books is our first spot into making money online. And the book's going good. So I guess in general, I have about 10,000 words done. I knocked out almost 3,700 words over the weekend. So it was an awesome weekend.
Wow.
And my guide to buying and selling websites, or primarily buying websites, So I'm about a third of the way through, I guess, at this point. And typically any book really for me is my limited writing experience. The first pass is just a deluge of information on paper, or, you know, in a document, if you will. And I'm sure I'll go back and cut a ton of it out later. But for now, it's been a good experience. I feel like I have the domain knowledge to write the book just from memory pretty much, and go back and capture a bunch of information and screenshots and things like that as we go. So it's been a cool experience that I'm actively looking to purchase a website, and I'm doing so mostly on Flippa just because of the price point I want to start at. So it's been a cool experience to write the book and learn by doing at the same time. So I hope to wrap up a sale before I publish the book. I'm sure I will, to give the whole kind of experience from start to finish of how to screen and do due diligence and actually purchase an escrow and transfer and all that kind of stuff. So pretty cool. So that's going good. And then, you know, we think about the stair-step approach, and Ken, we were talking before we started recording about the spectrum of difficulty or scope in online or software products. And for me, and I think we agree, they're kind of in buckets of easy, medium, and hard, or short, medium, and long-term games. So I don't know, do you have in your mind, do you have like the book is the easy game, and you have your budgeting app is the medium or long-term game? Have you thought a lot about that and where you want to be throughout the next year or so with those games?
I have thought a lot about that. I think as far as true income replacement potential, the SaaS app is where it's at. But that's really the long-term game. There are some wins to be had. Let me just preface this by saying I don't think these are absolutes. These buckets are a spectrum. the SaaS app can be both medium and long-term. I'm hoping to get a good portion of the SaaS app accomplished by MicroConf. And it will be by no means finished, but it will be good enough to demo to people and get my ideas across.
sorry. MicroConf is the middle of April?
Yeah, it's April. Well, there's a shindig on April 12th, the evening. That's a Sunday evening.
Okay.
And then 13th and 14th. And then I fly home on the Wednesday. So it's normally Monday and Tuesday. So they have a cocktail hour on Sunday night.
Got it.
And that sold out within 10 minutes, I heard, on Startups for the Rest of Us' latest episode, to the pre-sales group. So they offered tickets to the Micropreneur Academy. Then they offered tickets to people who had gone last year. And then anything left over was going to be open for the public. And it didn't get past those first two lists.
Wow, that's crazy. Good for them. That's great.
But back to your question, the easier win and the short game for me is the HIPAA guide that will allow some revenue to start trickling in. And, you know, with content, there's always a spike, an initial spike of revenue. whatever it's going to be, those first 3 to 5 days are going to be your max for probably the whole endeavor, unless you have some crazy viral marketing that hits in the middle of it. So if you, on day two after your launch, you get $1,000 in sales, that's a good chance that's probably going to be the peak. Whereas on, you know, if on day two you get $5,000 in sales, that's much better. And that's all dependent on your pre-sales.
Right.
And that's why I get back to maybe easy, medium, and long-term aren't the buckets I would have chosen, because that pre-sales and that marketing effort is what makes that tricky and what makes that difficult. As for the SaaS app, you have a chance to jump on what Rob Walling calls the long, slow SaaS death march, where I think I just butchered that.
That's pretty close.
Paraphrase. Yeah. Death march of recurring revenue, where you start off painfully slow and there's a huge plateau, and then you start getting exponential gains. And so I want to get that process started as quickly as possible with a SaaS app. And what I'm hoping to do is, if I overlay these two revenue charts together, the content that I'm selling starts to taper off as the SaaS app is starting to ramp up. And that way I can focus my attention in the same manner. I can focus where the revenue is on the ebooks and the content. And then as that starts to trickle off, more attention will be needed in the SaaS app.
Right on. Yeah.
How about you?
Yep. Yeah. So this goes into something that in our outline, at least, we had to talk about later, but I think it fits now a little bit in that I agree it's absolutely a continuum of things that you can do now to make money, things that require a little bit of work to get business, which I think is, for me, a big differentiation. So you release an ebook on Amazon, there's 10 million people on Amazon every day, and just some part of them buy your stuff, but that's not real marketing, right?
Right.
And I think that's where the difference comes in, is then it becomes a real business if you have something that you have to ask people to pay for yourself and hustle and sell. And that's the real differentiation, I think, probably, is not just easy, medium, and long-term games, but you could just sit here and write ebooks all day, every day. And that's not really moving you forward as a person or as a businessman or creating that real sustainable business that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked, I think, in the last episode that writing a book is not a business. It could probably lead to being a business, but to have a real business, you have to be able to sell shit. And that means going and talking to people and having value propositions and something more than just a description on Amazon. So that's kind of something I thought about today, actually, was getting pretty quickly from an internet marketing type of approach where I'm going to have this thing and hopefully people come by and buy it, to I have this service or this product or this productized service, where I define very clearly an audience and I go and talk to them and I make sure that the thing I'm developing or selling makes sense and has value to them, and I ask them for money. And I think if we're able to do that, we'll find ourselves really far ahead really quickly. The problem is, and I'm in sales, I do it every day, it is sometimes really hard to sack it up and go talk to people about giving you money when you know the last thing they want to do is give you money, right?
Right.
Especially, I mean, if you're talking about personal finance, these are people with money problems. The last thing they want to do is give you money. If it's for me, I'm finding myself more and more drawn to the podcasting field. And right now, at least, podcasts are free, right? So someone giving me money for anything related to podcasting is just making it more expensive for them to do podcasts. So we have to create a value proposition, not to use buzzwords, but we have to create a value proposition that's compelling enough for people to give us money. So I don't know, maybe, like you said, easy, medium, and long-term games aren't the best way to talk about it, but maybe the differentiation is from a, we stick this thing up and hope you will buy it, to we actively go out and sell people a thing is the differentiation.
Well, let's talk in specifics. So what are you doing first?
Yeah, that's the question, right? Yeah, so I had this, and I'm an idiot, right? So I'm absolutely just stupid. So I'm driving 80 miles an hour down the interstate and on Skype on my iPhone, texting with Justin McGill, who I had on my other podcast, like the first guest. He has this really interesting episode, really interesting story. So he grew a seven-figure marketing business, right? He lives in Phoenix, grew up this big marketing business, now went to do a kind of like a project management for marketing SaaS app that he's sunk a whole bunch of money into.
Uh-oh.
And not that it's bad, right? I think it'll turn out being a good project. And then he did this 24-hour launch project or kind of contest with himself, where he launched a productized service business in 24 hours, blogged about it all on his website. And we'll have links to it because I think it's fascinating and a really cool model to follow. But created a productized service business overnight, pretty much, right? Literally,
okay,
in a day. And it's getting some really good traction. It's called Lead Fuse. So it kind of warms up cold leads for people looking to acquire new I guess, inbound marketing.
Right.
Outbound marketing, whichever way. So they cold email people, warm them up to whatever the product or service you're offering is, and then kind of hand those leads off to you. So it's pretty cool. So he's got some pretty quick wins there. And the question I had for him as I'm driving down the interstate, texting him on Skype, is how do you balance, because he's also writing a book, right? So he has the three things we're talking about. It's an info product, if you will, in his book. It's a productized service business, which coincidentally for him and probably for a lot of people is an easy way to start making $1,000+ a month, or a SaaS app that you sink a ton of money in up front and hope it pays off big, big, big time down the road. And what kind of appetite do you have for that risk? And what do you focus your time on? So very long story short is our goal, my goal at least, and I think your goal is the same, is to replace our income and have the freedom to do whatever the fuck we want. And for me, that for sure is the first two things, right?
Yeah.
So it's anything that makes money. So it's writing a book or writing a course or selling something in a more internet marketing type of way, or creating a product or service. So, as kind of one step up the food chain. So that's what I'm focusing on. And, for right or wrong, I mean, it's not pure software, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not a software guy, so I don't feel bad about that.
So you're looking for a service. So you're still in the looking for phase?
Yeah, so I don't want to talk about it tonight because I don't feel like I have it fully hashed out. But
got it.
I will definitely talk about it next week when it is fully baked.
I'm going to ask about it next week.
And no. So that's fair. I mean, this is accountable, no bullshit podcast, right? So that should be our tagline, by the way. This is the accountable, no bullshit podcast.
Right. Okay.
So anyways, I fully expect people to be able to pay me money by the time we talk next week. Yep.
Along those lines, with my HIPAA endeavor, there is there's a service in there that needs to be done.
Sure.
Yep. So it's in the back of my mind, that I need to really narrow that down as to who that service would be for. And what I'm hoping to get out of the content marketing. And here's why I'm not going right for Amazon first. I'm kind of doing the Nathan Berry authority approach where I'm going to set up the landing page, try to find a target audience, see if that piques their interest, see if that's something they're looking for. To tell you the truth, those are questions that I've already answered. I've already gotten feedback from other developers saying, yeah, when's that available? Let me know when that's available.
Cool.
But I need to get a page out there where they can at least put their email address in and get a list going. And then the other thing I can do is I have some easy, quick checklists and guides that I can put. I'm not going to say infographic because I think that's a little played, but kind of a resource that is helpful and very valuable to that audience that is relatively quick for me to put together. It might take 4 hours of my time to put it together. Very helpful to that group of people. And it leads to more trust, which hopefully down the road leads to more conversions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that will also lead to, I think, more conversions on a future service business. I think for me, the easiest path is the small content, the bigger content like the ebook, then use that list, leverage that list to see who among that group needs the service offering. And that service offering can be very basic. It doesn't need to be automated up front. It can be kind of a concierge thing. It can be just me.
Consulting, yeah.
Could be me doing a risk analysis. I'm not going to say on-site because I don't think I'm available for flying around the country at a moment's notice. But that I got to work through.
So let me ask you this. That's not really congealing with your budgeting app. How does that make you feel if you're starting out with a book, you think it could turn into consulting or some sort of billable service? and maybe there's SaaS down the road associated with it, does that make you feel like you should continue to pursue the budgeting app or not?
I think I need to continue to. One reason is logical and one reason is not logical. So let me start with the logical reason. I've got a lot of, I've got a small, very small list on the budgeting app. I think I have a lot of value to bring there. And it's also relatively simple to take my, I could just put my Excel spreadsheet out there right now. Not, and just forget about a SaaS app. Just make it a downloadable spreadsheet, make it free, and then make a content offering that kind of revolves around that and builds some trust in that space and gets feedback. In the past, I have done something of that nature where I have, you know, I didn't put up a landing page and let a bunch of strangers get it, but I participate in four or five different forums, and I have a lot of friends that have that I've given this to. They said, "Hey, Ken, how do you do this?" And I said, "Well, this is what I use to see if it works for you. Your mileage may vary." The feedback I consistently get is, "This works fantastic for like a month, and then if I take 2 days away from it, it's a pain in the ass to get started on it again because it's an Excel spreadsheet, and I've got to basically just delete everything and start over. There's no really good way to catch up. There's no good way to collaborate with somebody else on this, especially somebody who's not Excel savvy. If you accidentally delete a formula or something like that, you're hosed. There's compatibility issues of Mac versus PC. Just the clumsiness of it being in Excel is holding people back from actually giving me a good testimonial on it and giving me good feedback. I can't get past the feedback of, man, Excel sucks. You know, if you're not an accountant or an actuary or developer or somebody who uses it all the time, a scientist, Excel kind of blows, you know, and, you know, Google spreadsheets is a little better, but it's still kind of the same thing. So for me, relatively speaking, my middle ground there is I can let people start using the core functionality of the concepts that are in that Excel spreadsheet, get feedback. So I'm going to let some early access people, and I have 10 people in mind that have already asked if they could be early access customers. And so that's really what I'm striving for. The other reason is a much more personal one. And I've had a long struggle with personal finance all the way from watching, you know, my mom struggle with it as a single parent to my personal struggles with it. And I've seen a lot of ways that fail. I've seen, you know, people go through consumer credit counseling, and my mom herself went through bankruptcy, and I've seen people struggle with finances. Even employees that work for me in my current day job have struggled, and I know how much these guys make. You know, they should not be struggling, yet we had a guy that was, you know, biking 24 miles each way to work because he could only afford one car, you know, and his wife had to have the car.
Yep.
And
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but yet you got a Christmas bonus, and he went out and bought, you know, almost a four-figure bike for his 10-year-old daughter. And it's like, dude.
Right, right, yeah.
Prior, you know, and so these are easy things to fix. And you brought up a good point earlier. And it's a big hurdle as people that are bad with money aren't really great SaaS customers. And that's true. And the other point is, 73% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck today. And that's a stat back from 2006. So it's really out of date. It's actually worse today. I need to track down the latest.
You need to look up, and I might try to send it to you. There's a stat about the number of people with $1,000 in their checking account.
Or less, yeah.
And it's...
It's staggering.
It's shit. Yeah, it's yeah. Horrible. It's amazing.
And so there are people in this country that are above middle class that are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Just by the numbers, there are people that are making between, you know, a married couple might be making $300K a year and don't have $1,000 in the bank account at any time because they've got too damn many cars and boats and houses and whatever. Those people can afford to pay for a SaaS app. It's an interesting marketing issue. So, no, you know, maybe you're not going to catch all the college students that are eating ramen. But there are a lot of people that can benefit from this. And there's a lot of ways that I can get this kind of program into the hands of the people that need it without necessarily asking for a credit card up front. Yeah. Maybe the play is it's actually an e-training course, and the SaaS is just something that comes along with the course. You know, kind of like Nathan does with his ConvertKit. You buy the authority program and you get access to ConvertKit.
So I would, and it's not pointed. I would really challenge the pricing structure and the approach to that, because I think, you know, there's a lot of things out there like Mint or any of those that are free, right? But then on the other side, there's Dave Ramsey, which is not exactly what you're talking about, I know, but that costs a fair amount of money, but there's a lot of structure associated with it. And I think there's plenty of money, right? Personal finance is a big problem, and anytime there's a big problem, there's a big market.
Yep.
But I think to be successful, you'll have to navigate that pretty closely.
Yeah.
The cool thing is it's not going anywhere, right?
There's a reason a lot of people get involved with the Susie Orman system or the envelope system of budgeting, or Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, or or they get started on Mint.com January 1st and say, I'm going to budget this year. There's a reason those people fail. I know why I used to fail doing that, and I know I can't be alone. I've talked to a lot of people that say, yeah, my family has this issue. It's the same thing you're talking about. It hangs us up all the time. This is the reason we don't budget. So no, it's not going to be perfect for everybody, and I don't want it to be. Can I say that's like a blocking issue in my life? It's like close to my heart, and I've got to get it out there. Succeed or fail, just let it do what it wants to do.
Yep.
So I guess that's my kryptonite, really, because I could be blind to a lot of issues with it that are really going to make it fail that I don't even see. I talked to Jesse Meekham a little bit, the founder of YNAB, at last MicroConf, and basically threw a shot across his bow because I loved his talk, and I agreed with almost everything he said. And I went up to him after his talk, and I was like, fantastic talk. I'm launching an app to compete with you. Hi, my name is Ken. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so we talked a little bit, and I told him the premise behind my app, and he's like, you know, I absolutely tell my customers not to do that, and here's why. And so we debated a little bit, and he's like, I'm really interested to see how you make it work, because every time my family tries to budget that way, here's what happens in the negative. And I say, wow, this is the reason it works for us, you know. And so he had never looked at it from my point of view, and so it was kind of like, it was a fun debate to have, and almost a little validation that, you know, there's a lot of room still in this market.
Yep. So, so this is interesting. So I would like to, and maybe we could do this as a real blog post on the site instead of just an episode, but maybe you could throw up kind of what differentiates a budget path from other apps out there, and how you think your method is going to be more successful. For my own curiosity, I think that would be real interesting to see, and probably for people that are following along, to give some backstory. I'm sure it's sort of tough to explain on the air, but that would be interesting to read about.
Okay.
Might give you some PR too, if anyone ever listens to this.
You know, I've I've been planning to put together some videos, and I was just going to use my Excel spreadsheet app as if it's my SaaS app, and just say, hey, here's how I budget in this system, and just let people into how we're making it easier with the online version. Because nobody signs up to buy a SaaS app. They don't care about that. But I think I can sell the benefits.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. To sell the software, give the software away for free down the road, and sell the training or the course up front.
Right.
I think you could make a killing with that, because everyone's had their money issues, right? And the one thing you do when you have money issues is you want to make it go away, and paying money to make it go away always seems like a smart idea, right?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, in the past, I would have been willing to pay someone money to tell me what to do. So I think, and if you do that in a honorable way, I think that's a very fair business.
Yeah. I've kind of got a path charted out for it too. I've got a B2B version of it in my head. I've got the domain registered for, because the financial software, the personal finance software is budgetpath.com. The B2B version is going to be cashflowable.com. Okay. To help businesses manage cash flow, which is a huge problem. Businesses have a budgeting problem. They don't call it budgeting, but they have a similar issue, especially these days when businesses are inundated with SaaS apps and different departments have different SaaS apps, and you're trying to manage all this cash flow that you really can't capture an accurate look at it when you're doing your beginning of the year planning. So there's a need for that, especially for the small and medium-sized enterprises. The large enterprises, they're not my focus. I don't care to have a sales team.
Sure.
And a large portion of the medium-sized ones too, because they insist on being treated like a large organization, even though they're not.
Yep.
But especially small businesses, they need to know, they need to have some reassurance. I need to add an employee. Should I add them this week or should I wait 6 weeks? You know, are those invoices due? What's my cash flow look like? How is this going to affect cash flow when I have to onboard a new employee? If I need to change offices and put a deposit down on a new lease, how does that affect my cash flow? When's a good time to change warehouse and fulfillment shops? So I have a good way to do that. The other avenue I have is to take the Budget Path software, and I'm not going to say white label it, but package a plan geared toward consumer credit agencies that they can then use as tools for their members. That's a whole different kind of sales approach. But so those are pivot options. You know, I've kind of gotten them back in my head. I won't say pivot. It's not really pivoting, but additional ways to get some traction.
Marketing channels. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think probably this is not the episode to talk about idea validation, but I listened to Bootstrap Web podcast today, and they had a really, really good conversation talking about idea validation and a melding of a handful, three really frameworks, if you will, for idea validation and how to validate an idea before you go spending a bunch of money on it and maybe getting paid customers beforehand. So I think that'll be a real interesting thing for us to talk about in another episode or two, probably, as we are getting things out there to sell to people aside from books, right? So I think you and I probably should be on similar goals maybe by the end of February to have something to really start talking to people about paying for. Whether the thing is done or not is not really important, but have a real concrete concept for a thing that if we start talking to people and they're not willing to pay for it, then you have to admit to yourself that you might be, and now I mean you, but we all might be making a mistake, and you got to be willing to shoot that thing in the head before you go wasting 6 months on it.
Yeah. I think maybe next episode we should have a dedicated segment for the ideas that we've shot in the head.
Yep. No, I have.
I've got a notebook of them.
I will take a screenshot of the domains I have in my Bluehost account, and it is just really embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. I mean, I have some awesome domains, right? I have baconjuice.com that is going to be an awesome app one day. I don't know what baconjuice.com is going to be, but it's going to be awesome. But yeah, I'm just a hoarder. It's horrible. But I suffer from shiny object syndrome like a motherfucker. It's horrible.
I had one very public shiny object. I was looking at my Twitter feed, and for whatever reason, I didn't realize I did this, but I follow some people that are Portuguese or Spanish speakers. And so suddenly there's tweets coming through that are like really highly favorited and retweeted. I'm like, I can't read this. And at the time, I didn't realize there's a checkbox in TweetDeck that lets you translate tweets. So I got tweeting to Breck and Scott saying, dudes, why isn't there, you know, a translation service? You know, because all the good ideas aren't in English, you know. And I had convinced myself with just that sentence, right? So I went out and I registered at Breck's suggestion, translate.me and Twan with a TW.
Twan.
Yeah. So that actually might be slightly racist, and but definitely I went out and bought it, and then I started looking around, and I was pricing machine translation services. I realized that there's a reason that there's not a lot of companies doing this. It's expensive.
Yep.
It's expensive. And then just a few weeks ago, I'm like, oh, there's a checkbox here for this. What was I thinking of?
There you go. So
we went right off the rails here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's it. I mean, the structure of this shows is going to be following us along, right? And if you can't follow us along with a couple beers, then that's fine. Then people shouldn't listen, right?
But people should pause the show right now and go to their kitchen or wherever they keep their fine beers and crack one open and come back to us. We'll be here.
Yeah,
we'll
and this is life, right? It's Central Time. It's 10 o'clock p.m. Kids have been asleep for a couple hours, and I've been working. I worked, 13 hours today. So this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, it reminds me to check the baby monitor here because
that's right.
Yeah, he's asleep now. Good. All right.
So Ken has the baby monitor muted, thank God. But when we started, it was
he's a talker.
Yep. So I guess a couple things. One, I'll go back to our small, medium, and big goals. So Cedarcast.com is my thought for my long-term goal, and it is a premium/paid podcasting platform where people can show hosts can launch and send paid-only podcasts to subscribers, and subscribers can download them just like they can in Stitcher or the Apple Podcast app or Overcast or whatever. But behind a paid wall, so like a membership site for podcasts. So had a good conversation with a big podcaster last week. So it was encouraging.
Great.
Talking about idea validation, he shot a lot of holes in my idea. At the same time, validated the need, right? So the need is podcasts are free, and that sucks for podcasters. And the need is to find a way for podcasters to make money. And my approach is one. I don't know at this point if it's the best one, which makes me feel more comfortable putting it kind of on the shelf. Not on the shelf. I mean, it's definitely still there and everything, and it will continue to exist. But it is not the way that I'll replace my income, right? I know that the chances of in the next 12 months getting that thing off the ground, finding users and providers for it is not great relative to other things I can do. So anyway, just kind of wanted to share that. We'll be replacing that focus with a productized service, and it is in a similar niche. And we'll be excited to talk about exactly what that is next week once I've had more than 3 hours to really think about it. So I registered the domain in the car on the way home because I had the thought and I was like, this is fucking great. I'm going to do this and it's awesome. And I'm driving down the interstate. One of these days, I'm just not going to be on the podcast. I'm going to be, in the jaws of death or the jaws of life cutting me out of the car because I'm on my phone texting or registering domains or something crazy, but have a really good concept. So I'll be anxious to share that next week when it has some real concrete structure, but
I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one who does things.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Business related in the car.
My wife, every day when I leave, she says, don't text in the car. And I say, okay. And I'm texting before I get out of the neighborhood. It's horrible.
I'm getting better at dictating texts. You hit the little microphone button on the iPhone and it does a pretty good job, good enough job.
Did you know that Siri, they record everything you say? Apple does?
I don't use Siri.
Oh, okay.
Dictation. There's the little microphone symbol is not Siri.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
Siri, I've had horrible luck with. She always tells me she doesn't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Fair disclosure for everybody. So, like smart TVs and any sort of Siri or whatever the Android analogy of Siri is records everything that happens.
Why would they do that?
I think it's for the kind of the AI development stuff, right, to make it work better. But
there's probably some liability concerns in there too, in case Siri captures a murder in progress or something.
That's whack, huh? Anyways, that's a big divergence. We're off the rails there. But
so what I do when I'm driving is I have this app called Dropvox, Dropvox. Sure. What I found was I would be driving to work listening to a podcast, and it would I don't know why, but I'm the guy that talks to himself in the car. So if I'm listening to a podcast, I'm interacting with the people, even though they don't know it, as if it's live. I wish very much that there was a phone number I could call and just talk live and have a conversation. Sometimes people will ask a question of, hey, what's that service? Or do you know anybody who does this? And I'm just like shouting at the windshield, right? So I started recording, but I found that the Apple Notes app has a size limitation where if you record long enough, the only way you can get the file off your phone is to plug your phone into iTunes and drag it into your file system, which that's bunk. I don't know why that is. But this other app uploads it directly to Dropbox, or there's a couple other cloud services it supports. But at first it was only Dropbox. And while it's uploading, it's already primed. It can be recording the next recording while it's uploading. It queues them up.
Okay, nice.
So anyway, I'll be driving, and I have a whole folder of replies to various podcasts that, I intend to actually take the thoughts that, I was babbling about and put them into a blog post and just have a series of blog posts that's a reply to other people's shows. And then I get home and I think better of it, and it never happens. So I just have a folder of me rambling.
That's cool. That's cool. So I don't know. The Build and Launch Justin Jackson show is a lot of, I think he just records voice memos locally on his phone and,
okay.
then imports those and drops them in his weekly show or daily show. I don't know which it okay. is, but yeah, it's pretty interesting. Kind of his random thoughts about how he's feeling and what's going on with his, little micro launches that he's doing. So speaking of live shows, we should do a live show. And we should do a live show in a couple of weeks when we have, tens of listeners. And we should do a live show and figure a way to have people be able to communicate with us and do just a question and answer bullshit kind of show. I think it'd be awesome.
I like it.
Yeah.
We had talked about doing a roundtable discussion. Get 3 or 4 or 5 people in a Google Hangouts on air and talk business like a mastermind call.
Yeah.
But a live show is good too. How did you intend to do that?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea. So I think in Google Hangouts, you can do chat, and that's how I would do it, is we would post on the website and wherever else that the show will be coming up at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Three Tuesdays from now.
Just live stream it from Google Hangouts.
Yep, live stream it from Google Hangouts. We can make it a video and ping it over to YouTube or something like that afterwards, and allow people to text questions in the chat.
That'd be
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Because I think we are at the point where a lot of people are probably, right? A lot of people are entrepreneurs and sitting around thinking they have the next great idea and don't ever do anything about it. And the reason I say we should do it in a couple of weeks is maybe we're actually doing something about it, talking to people that want to pay us money at that point and doing things that are moving us along that continuum we were talking about before. So
right.
That'd be pretty cool. So we should make that one of our goals. So speaking of goals, with Stick.
Nice segue there.
You like that?
So Stick. Let's take a stick to Stick and beat it up. I've been tinkering with Stick, and I've signed up. I have an account. And every time I go in to make a commitment, there's something that holds me back. Today, I tried it again. I was like, I'm just going to do this. I need to get this commitment started and damn the torpedoes. And then I start poking around. It's like, okay, I want to pick which charity this goes to. Should I miss a goal? You can't pick.
You can't pick.
You cannot pick. It will go to one of their preferred charities.
And the anti-charity is selectable?
Anti-charity, you have a choice of 4. So you have the gun lobby or the anti-gun lobby. You have the RNC or the DNC. You have there was one other.
That's horseshit.
So maybe there's 6, but there's like an even number of the anti-charities, but it's a small group.
Okay.
Or you can choose to send the money to a friend, or you can choose to have a commitment with no money at all. And I'm thinking, well, at that point, why do I need Stick?
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about, again, in conjunction with a live show, I think a monthly goal or obligation is the way to go, right? We're checking in every week and doing a show every week. And for me, that's enough accountability. Is you calling me out on the air and say, why are you being a lazy piece of shit or not? So that's fine. I think I don't need to put money up for that if you're cool with that. And we could say on a monthly basis, based on the feedback from the previous month live show, we're going to, the money, if it is due or to be paid, will go to X. What do you think? So have listener input into where the money goes if money is due.
Speaking of listener input, should we throw a poll on our website?
Yeah, that'd be great. No, it's perfect.
And then we could tally the results at the end of the month and say, okay, this month Craig got the most, points, whatever the polling outcome is. And then you win that month.
So I was thinking more of a, everyone says the money should go to X or Y.
Got it. So there's no winner between you and I. It's, did each of us individually hit our goals this month? Are we going to go to a week to week basis cumulatively rolled up at the month level? Or are we just going to say this month, did we hit the goals?
Yeah, I think on a month level, we would say, because we are kind of at similar points, right? So we could say, the book is done, right? By the end of February. That's a realistic goal, I think. 3 weeks to write a book.
Wait a minute. Did we transition to actually setting goals right now?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, that's fair. So on the air, right?
What's your goal?
Live, unscripted, on the air. Yes. Honest to God, we have not talked about this. So by the end of the month, my book will be available for everyone that listens to this podcast to buy.
Okay, the end of February. Define end of February. The 28th or the Monday following that. When's your launch date?
The 28th. Yep.
I'm all about specificity here.
Yep. Oh, so I was going to talk about that before in regards to goals. And this is not a segue, but just a side comment.
Okay.
When we start talking about these easy, medium, and long-term goals and games, we really need to say, all right, it's February 9th or whatever it is right now. We need to have goals for ourselves and start talking about those in the big picture. As it relates to whatever, part of that spectrum we're talking about.
Yeah.
But if it's the end of June and neither of us are making money, then, someone needs to have their ass kicked.
Right.
So I think we need to have those big picture milestones in mind. So,
but this helps us course correct before it becomes a 6 month off course thing.
Yeah. And you're sitting here jerking off for 6 months. It's no fun.
Well,
all right. So back
if it's not fun, you're not doing it right.
To what we're talking. I will have my book done by the end of February and have it available on Amazon, and we'll be able to capture email leads, which is the main goal of the book, for future email courses and regular content courses that I'll run through my blog.
So we record on Tuesdays generally. So the Tuesday that we could end that reporting period would be the 3rd of March. So you should be...
So I will have been launched by then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So it should be high five time for Craig. So book launched by March. By end of February.
Piece of cake.
Launch to Amazon, launch to personal sales site, doesn't matter.
I will launch on Amazon. That's my plan. Yep.
On Amazon. Oh, gauntlet thrown, buddy. All right.
And your book is a lot more complex, right? So we don't have to have the same goal.
Have you even talked about what your book is specifically about?
Yeah. Yep. Were you muted earlier?
I had like 3 hours of sleep this morning.
No. So my book is about buying websites.
Yeah.
Specifically geared around, how to get the most out of Flippa, because Flippa is a shithole of trash, and there's some gems there, but it takes a lot of work.
It's 2 weeks in a row. I know. Okay.
Yep.
Flippa book launched on Amazon. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
It's totally spaced. So my HIPAA book, can I have it launched this month?
No, honestly, what it's 20 days, right? 21 days, 2,000 words a day.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just talk this through. Give me 3 minutes here. One, there is no landing page up today. There's no sales site up today. There's no way for you to give an email address or express interest in any way. I think it's definitely attainable that I have all of that done. I think it's attainable that I have a sample chapter available for download. I think it's attainable that I have a pre-sales page and funnel up and running, ready to go. Can I have the entire book done?
So I'll backtrack a little and say you really should think about how important the book is to your overall goal, right? So if it's hugely important that you get the book done to generate leads to go upstream from there, then you need to get it done. If the book is a thing that will make $5,000 in the next 6 months, then you don't need to get it done. You need to work on other things.
The $5,000 can be used to fund a developer for my other things.
Yeah, it's just my 2 cents. And that's how I think about my book is, again, yeah, like you said, it's going to fund other things in my business life. So I do want to get it out quickly.
Well, that's pretty ambitious. Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Good.
Make no small goals. Sorry, I had to turn off my ringer here.
No, it's all right.
Okay. Which means I'll probably get 3 text messages here in a second. That's my 20-year-old daughter asking if she can stay out late. I'm positive. All right. So in February, can I have this book launched? Yeah, I'm going to make it happen.
All right.
I might have a caveat on it. It might be, you know, Amy Hoy released her book on, it was a Gumroad download. And then she, within a few weeks, released like the final version. So she had like a pre-released unedited version, you know, just to give to people that had paid for it. And then she came out with the good version. I might do something like that.
Oh, that's legit. Yeah. That pre-sell. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Justin Jackson, his product hunt book was available for pre-sale. I mean, we're only talking about the scope of a week that he works in right now.
But right.
A few days, which and the amount of work he does is a long time. So, yeah, that's legit. If you're not going to be done with it for 2 weeks after that, then as long as you stick it up on Gumroad that it'll be launched the middle of March, then I'll consider that done by the end of February.
Yeah. My other concern, and I guess it shouldn't be a concern yet because I don't even have an audience, is it's a lot of legal implications to people following advice that's hastily put together into a book.
Yeah, I think you could scrape a disclaimer from a similar book or something.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a compilation of my experiences, and it's a compilation of legal advice I've gotten and research I've done. So it's not unresearched, the book, but I'll have to throw some disclaimers on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say as long as you're not positioning yourself as a subject matter expert in a legal sense.
Correct.
You're good. Just, yeah, this is
it's one of those classic things. I always think that's such a cop-out. You know, you see a thread on the internet. This is not legal advice, but here's some legal advice. You know, yeah.
No, that's fair. I mean, it's your advice as a technology professional.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in terms of charity, I'm gonna make it easy on us. I forget the exact name, but the water charity.
Which one? There's like water.org and there's charity colon water.
I think it's water.org. We researched it a lot at the end of the year. We always do two little charities that we kind of involve the kids with at the end of the year.
They're one of the good ones.
We'll post this in the show notes. There's a kind of a research site for charities that rank them on fiscal responsibility and then, you know, all this kind of stuff.
How much money actually goes to the cause?
Yeah. I mean, that's my problem with Red Cross and all this bullshit, but, water.org is an A+. So we'll give, if there is money due at the end of February, we'll give money to water.org.
Great.
Yep. It's a great cause. I think I'm not a bleeding heart kind of guy either. And it's legit.
No, I'm totally with you there. I like water.org. There was a organization, Water Forward, that you donate money to them, and then it's almost like the Ice Bucket Challenge. You would nominate some of your friends. So you would give money in the names of your friends, and then in turn they would give money in the names of their friends in the attempt of virality. But yeah, I like those water charities because it's 100% solvable. It's one of the few problems on the planet that is 100% solvable.
Yep.
Okay.
That's going to be a fucking circus. I'm so excited.
Yeah. How's that going to interrupt our attaining these goals?
Our thought patterns are sporadic enough that will make it just so much better.
Well, okay. Do you want to do the live show in February?
Yeah. I think it should be the March 3rd show. Yeah.
Nice. Live on. It's like the Biggest Loser finale.
Yeah. That's right. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. All right. Okay.
Motherfucker. So I'm definitely traveling for work March 3rd. So we'll have to do it not March 3rd, but.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We'll work it out.
All right. So two other things for me. One is masterminds. I joined a mastermind this week of two guys that are growing more like agency businesses, which is cool for me looking to get into a productized service business because it takes me more from the engineering mindset that I have to a real customer service type mindset. So that'll be interesting to see how it goes. We had about an hour long conversation yesterday and they're no bullshit. Both of them are full time in this. So I am definitely the weakling, which is cool. I mean, I'm down with that I have a lot of catching up to do with them.
Those the guys we talked about before the show?
Yeah.
He's no bullshit. I talked to him a couple times, 2 years in a row at MicroConf, and he gets right to the point. He's very direct, and he doesn't mess around.
Yep. So that'll be interesting to me between that and this, two very accountable structures in my life. So that's cool. I'm excited about that. And then what was the other thing I wanted to talk about? Must not have been that important. That's weak. I don't know. I don't know. Totally blanking on
that time of the evening.
Yeah. Oh, I did have a question. Hosting preferences. Where do you host your web stuff, WordPress kind of stuff?
Our site, and I have most of my sites on a host called Site5. They have really great hosting plans. The normal unlimited plans are unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth. They don't care how many WordPress sites you put on there. I'm on their turbo plan that gives me like SSD drives, a little faster speed. And then it's not a VPS though, but it is virtualized so that I can actually set up segregated instances of control panel for each of my sites. That way in the future, if I sell one, I can just hand the keys over and I don't have to extract it from all my other junk.
Okay.
It's no extra. So I just go in and say, okay, build a whole control panel instance for Nights and Weekends podcast. Boom, it's set up. Now I can give you SSH access into it. You can have FTP. I can install WordPress or anything we want on there.
And not screw up your other stuff.
doesn't interact with anything else I've got going.
What was the name again?
Site5.
Site5. Right on.
I wish I had a promo code, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might by the time this goes live. Yeah.
Maybe I'll put it in the show notes. I don't care if you guys use my promo link or not.
You guys can go to nightsofweekendspodcast.com/site5, and that'll take you there.
Right.
I was looking at – so I have all of my crap on Bluehost right now, and it is just horribly slow.
Yep.
And looking at Media Temple, I have a kind of front-end developer friend who really just loves Media Temple. They're $20 a month.
So Media Temple is very popular, and here's the lowdown on them. They allow their shared hosting to get very crowded. And so as time goes on, your site might get slower and slower and slower. But the good thing about Media Temple is those guys are awesome, and you call them up, and they'll just move you to a new instance. They don't care.
Yeah. I think they seem to be in between a Bluehost or HostGator and like WP Engine, maybe. Site5 seems similar, I guess.
Yeah, Site5, I would say it would be squarely in the middle. I pay $18 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Bluehost, I mean, you can get $3.95 if you go through certain affiliate links.
Yeah.
If you pay for the year in advance or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I paid for the year for $100.
Right. Now, in addition, I have an account at A2 Hosting. That I paid, I can't remember what I paid. I bought the year. In exchange, I got $75 in credit for free on Envato, ThemeForest.
Oh, wow.
That nice. Group. So basically, it paid for the hosting, and I, you know, so it was a wash.
Our podcast theme came from.
Right. So it was at a time I used that credit a long time ago. But the point was, it was money well spent. And I still don't use the A2 hosting because they're a lot slower than Site5, frankly. So it's like my backup. I have a personal blog there that I don't have anything on, and I'm not going to share the URL. But I have that's another issue entirely. I've been trying to launch a personal blog for years, and I keep getting held up by all the things I want to talk about. I don't really want Google to index. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think... So Adam Clark talked about blogging in one of his podcasts, the Gently Mad podcast last week, and he doesn't blog, right? He's like, I have a podcast, I do it 3 days a week, that's plenty. I don't need to blog, and I agree, man. I mean, blogging is hard work, man. You know, rambling on for 1,000 words is one thing, but writing structured, focused, targeted content every week is hard.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it for business, that's legit, right? Like,
I do blog for business in my day job. That's another reason I have a struggle with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, right? So you're around one particular theme all the time. So Josh Pigford blogs a lot. Heat Shaw blogs a lot. I mean, those guys are content creators as lead gen, right?
Right.
But lead gen for yourself is it's weird.
Yeah, it's not really. I'm not building a personal brand.
Yeah.
You know, like Ruben Gomez at BidSketch, he tries very hard to minimize his name on things. He wants it to be BidSketch. He doesn't want it to be Ruben Gomez's site, you know.
Sure.
It's BidSketch. Especially
if you need to, I mean, right, so Breck Palumbo is talking about selling his app, right? And doing a lot of work to remove his imprint from the app.
Right.
And if you can set it up the right way for the beginning so that you don't have to do that, that's one less thing, right?
Yeah, and that's the way I've been structuring all my businesses. Down to the Site5, I need the domain name. I need all the DNS. I need the hosting, all severable.
Yeah.
Down to, the money, the finances. I keep all of that very strictly separate. I don't want there to be any trouble offloading a property if, in fact, I get something that's sellable someday.
Right, right. Right on. Well, hey, what do you think, Ken? Have we rambled on long enough?
I think we have. So we went through my stick gripe. I had two other things. We can get to them the next episode. We've been rambling for over an hour now.
All right.
My biggest gripe with our last episode is we didn't leave off with concrete goals. And apparently my mic was too hot. So other than that, I was happy with our first foray into
So I think the audio level stuff will all come out in the wash. Don't worry about it. It's the same way tonight. I mean, I watch my meters here, and I'm 4 or 5 bars lower than you consistently. Okay. So it's all good.
I'm trying not to be right on the mic.
No. It's all good, man. The audiophonics is awesome. It's awesome. Yep.
Okay. I have a weird voice. Frankly, I hate listening to my own voice. So.
No, it's all good, man. It's good.
I'll take your word for it.
Great.
So sorry to everybody out there who's listening to me right now.
We might edit that part out. We'll see. More of our horse shit. If you are a charitable soul and are a very smart person, you can go over to nightsandweekendspodcast.com and sign up for the email list, where you will receive goodies, incentives, show notes, and all sorts of other wonderful little trinkets each week before the show comes out. And if you want to leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, you would probably be the smartest person I know.
We would definitely love you as much as our own family if that were to happen. I'd probably write you in our will.
You'd probably be the third review that we got too, right? After Ken and I. So that would make you extra special.
Well, you're counting wrong, because I've logged in under all of my pseudonyms too.
Maybe the fifth then, right?
We're not even launched yet, but we already have 10 reviews.
Game in the system. I like it. They'll never figure it out. All right. So we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.